This is Audible.
The following is a production of the Colonial Radio Theatre on the air.
Jerry and the Pirates. Jerry and the Pirates. Starring Jerry Robbins. Co-starring Rob Cattell, Connor Doherty, and Ricky McDonald. It's a quiet, lazy afternoon in the seacoast town of Marblehead, Massachusetts. Sitting atop Hesperus Hill, we find the home of Jerry Davenport. Jerry is a screenwriter, and at the moment, he is breezing along with the script to his next movie, a pirate epic. Let's listen in and hear the creative process at work.
Go away. I said go away.
If I stop, I lose the moment.
Ah! Hello.
Oh, hello, Mr. Davenport. Is that you?
Oh, hello, Mayor Quigley, and yes, it is.
Oh, I'm so glad, because after all, I did call your number, and it would have been
Yeah, you noticed that, huh?
Well, look at what I'm doing the dishes, mind you. It's not like I'm a snoop or anything. I leave that to Congress. I'm only a mayor.
So you are.
Of course, when I get my dishwasher fixed, I won't be able to look out the kitchen window on a regular basis. And then I won't ever know if you have company or not.
Is that what you called to tell me, Mayor Quigley? Your phone call. Is that why you called me? To tell me I don't have any company? That's right. Now, is there anything on your mind?
Not a thing.
Why'd you call?
Come again?
I said, why did you call?
Oh, I know. I am giving a lecture next week for the Petunia Lovers of America Club, and I need a speech.
Petunia Lovers of America?
You know I have a prize petunia patch in my yard.
Yes, I've seen it.
My wife started it back in the day, and I have tended to it ever since.
Mayor, are you asking me to write you a speech? I said, do you want me to write you a speech?
Oh, will you? Oh, my. Oh, I don't know what to say.
I meant to say, if you asked, do you want me to write a speech? I mean, I was repeating your question, not answering your request.
Oh, how good is this? It's more than I hoped for. Imagine.
Mayor.
The great Jerry Davenport.
Mayor.
Writing my
I didn't mean it like that.
Mayor,
hold on! I can't write your speech. I think you heard it differently than I meant it. You see, I'm working on a deadline, and I can't take on anything else until I deliver the script.
But it's only a whittle speech.
I'm sorry.
Answer your door.
What?
Answer your door.
There's no one at my door. I hope he gets a dishwasher soon. I'll never get the script finished. Tracy!
Don't seem so surprised. You make me feel unwelcome.
No, I was just wishing the mayor would get a new dishwasher so he wouldn't have to look out his window all the time.
Can I come in?
No!
What?
I said, no, you can't come in.
Why not?
Because I'm busy.
You're acting like you're hiding something.
No, I'm not.
Well, then why can't I come in?
Because you'll stay a long time and I have a script to finish. It's as simple as that.
Oh?
Yes.
Sure you're not hiding anything?
Oh, what makes you say a thing like that? We'll go out tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Pizza Heaven.
No, not expensive enough. We'll go to Vaccaro's. What time?
9.
All right, I'll see you at 9. Happy writing.
Thank you. I lost it. The scene is no longer in my head. All right, start over. And it's never as good the second time around. Now what? I said 9. How difficult is that to understand? Tracy?
Do I look like a Tracy?
Not even with soft lighting. What do you want, Cranker?
I drive all the way out here to Hussey Hill and...
Hesperus Hill.
I knew there was a hill in there someplace. I drive all the way out here and all you can say is, what do you want, Cranker?
Well, what else am I supposed to say?
How about, hello, Cranker, won't you come in?
Please do.
Thank you.
Have a seat.
Don't mind if I... Ooh, your computer. This must be the money scripts.
Well, it's a script.
Don't be so modest and fishing for compliments. I can smell a hit script a mile away. It was sailing on the sea breeze all the way up here to Heron Hill.
Hesperus.
Let me see here. Title page. Mm-hmm. Looks good. Page 1. Act 1. And I... Where's the rest of it?
Right in front of you.
In front of me? All I see in front of me is a title page. And then page 1 with nothing on it.
Don't complain. It's more than I had last week.
My heart. Are you telling me that all you have is this?
I didn't have to tell you anything. You figured it out all by yourself.
I knew this seaside shanty was a bad idea. You wrote better in L.A. Well, faster anyway.
That's not true.
It is, too. I should know. I'm the one getting the annoying phone calls when you're behind schedule.
Who's complaining?
The studio. Remember the studio? This picture starts in a couple of months and you still don't have the script ready. All you have is a title page. What are they supposed to do with the title page?
They can shoot the credits.
Don't get funny. Now listen, I represent you. My neck is on the line here as well.
I'll get it done. You worry too much.
It's this town. Too many distractions and too much ocean. How can you write with so much water around? I have to take my seasickness pills just to stand in your living room.
It's a nice view, isn't it?
A nicer view is your computer screen. 2 months. They start in 2 months. This is a pirate picture, you know. They need the script now so they can start all the effects shots.
Yeah, I forgot about the special effects. Tell them they'll need a couple of ships and some cannons.
Very funny. You've written these kinds of epics before. It'd be old hat to you by now.
You know, maybe that's the problem. It's old hat. No more interest. No new ideas.
Well, you better find the interest, and fast. I'm calling BS at the studio and telling him you will have the script to him by Friday, and you better!
Fade in. Exterior long shot. We see the harbor of Tortuga under attack. Ships facing the docks. Fire white plumes of smoke and cannons from the fort fire back. The sound is delayed as we are far, far away. And, oh boy, that's bad. Fade in. Interior. A close angle of Captain Tortuga's cabin. No, the town is called Tortuga. Well, who is to say there wasn't a Captain Tortuga? They had to name the place after somebody. The captain paces, his hand grasping his cutlass as there is a knock on the door.
Enter, you dog.
Door opens, in walks the captain's first mate, Drumgo.
Ahoy, Drumgo! What be the delay in attacking yon town?
But, Captain Tortuga, we have learned that yon town is called Tortuga.
Tortuga, says you?
Tortuga, says I.
Avast there! How can I lay siege on a town named after me own namesake? Captain Tortuga cannot blast away at the town of Tortuga. Who's writing these crummy lines anyway? They're horrible.
I agree, Captain. They are like files on the brain.
Okay. I officially have no pirate story in my mind. I've done too many of them. It's time to do something different. Like westerns. Sure I'm getting a lot of activity this morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Now that we have the highs out of the way, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Well, we're moving in.
Huh?
Moving in.
Moving in. As in my house?
Yeah.
Whatever gave you that idea?
Didn't you get the telegram?
Telegram? What telegram?
From the lawyer.
Now look, I don't know what you kids are talking about, but I'm very busy at the moment and don't have time to...
We won't bother you. Just show us to our rooms and we'll unpack.
Kid, I don't know what on earth you're talking about.
He didn't get the telegram.
I guess not. Oh, boy, don't we feel stupid.
All right, let's get to the point. What's this all about?
You won us.
I what?
Won us.
I didn't even enter the contest.
You won us in a will.
What are you talking about?
A will. It's sort of like winning the lottery, only you don't have to scratch anything.
I know what a will is, but I don't understand.
We're your brother's kids. He died. You didn't know that either?
I didn't even know I had a brother.
Surprise!
Well, I knew I had one, but I haven't seen him in, how long has it been?
I'm 14, so it's at least been that many years.
I'm 13.
How about you?
I'm just chugging along.
Where's your mother?
She moved to Austria right after Preston was born. She said she wanted to become a nun, like Julie Andrews in the movie.
She's probably a full-time nun by now.
Yeah, probably.
You're our only living relative.
Now, this is starting to sound like Auntie Mame.
Who's Auntie Mame?
Rich old broad. She lives down the street.
Jerry and the Pirates will return right after this.
And now, back to Jerry and the Pirates.
Anyone want another sandwich?
Are you sure you don't have any milk?
I'm sure. I stopped buying milk when I gave up mudslides and switched to scotch.
Butterscotch? That would be okay.
Just water for now. I'll get some milk later.
This is a nice place you got here, Uncle Jerry.
Thank you, but could you just call me Jerry for now?
Why? Are you ashamed of us?
No, not at all. I need some proof for...
Proof? You think we're lying to you?
Hold on, guys. I can see how this must be a shock, especially since he didn't know Dad got married and all. I think he needs some time for himself to get his thoughts together.
That's very considerate of you, Richie. Thank you.
We'll give you 5 minutes. By that time, the moving van with all our things should arrive. Let's wait outside, guys.
Moving van? Oh, who can that be?
Someone's at the door.
I'll get it.
Who's the bait?
I beg your pardon.
Tracy, you're back.
Surprise.
That's a popular word today.
I thought you were a writer. Opening a kindergarten as a sideline?
Kindergarten? I'm 14.
Tracy, I can explain all this, I think.
I'm waiting.
Won't you come inside?
All right.
Now, you kids wait outside like you were going to.
What, miss all this?
Have a seat.
I think I'll stand.
Okay. Would you like a sandwich?
I would like an explanation.
That's good, because he doesn't have any milk.
Preston, I'll handle this. Why did you come back?
Because I forgot to give you a goodbye kiss. I'm waiting.
Huh?
Where did these kids come from?
Lady, if you don't know where kids come from by now, you're hopeless.
Yeah, maybe you better explain to her. Dad.
Dad?
Dad?
Now I know why you didn't want me in the house when I stopped by earlier. Your kids were here.
Now, Tracy, you got it all wrong.
How is it? I've never seen them in the 6 years we've been going together.
Because he keeps us locked up in the attic and we live on bread and water, but on special occasion, he lets us into the main house.
Okay, stop that! Now, Tracy, there's a perfectly logical explanation for all this. In fact, it's kind of funny. Isn't it, boys?
Yeah.
You see, I had this brother who I haven't seen in, at least 14 years. And, yeah, you see, he was married to this woman who decided to move to Austria and become a nun, like Julie Andrews in the movie. And then he ups and dies. And then I get the kids in the will. And, here they are. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Can't you see me buckled over with mirth?
Wait here.
I bought the potato salad.
Mayor Quigley, why did you bring potato salad over?
Well, it looked like you were having company, and since that is such a rarity unto itself, I thought I would be a neighborly neighbor and bring some potato salad. Oh, look at all the kidlings. Where did they come from?
That's something I still haven't found out the answer to, Mayor. Maybe you'll have better luck and can give me a call. Goodbye, Mr. Davenport.
Tracy, stop right there. Now, you're going to listen to me.
Oh, I've heard quite enough. Singing nuns and long-lost brothers and kids in the attic and... Mayor, could I borrow your potato salad?
Certainly.
Hey, what are you doing with that?
Mr. Davenport, you never looked better.
I'll get the plates.
So, now you have 3 kids.
That's right. I called a lawyer, but everything seems to be on the up and up.
You don't have time for kids. You've got a screenplay that's overdue. How many pages have you done?
3.
That's not even enough for a short subject.
Well, what do you want me to do, Cranker? Throw them into the ocean or something?
If it gets the script done, yes.
Oh, you're so Hollywood. No heart.
Listen, it's bad enough you live up here in Hollow Hill.
Hesperus Hill.
But with 3 kids running around like lunatics, you'll never get anything done.
Oh, I will too, and they're not lunatics.
Where are they now?
Well, Paul is painting his room, Preston is watching TV in the Bentley, and Richie is riding his quad.
A quad? What is a quad?
A quad is a 4-wheeler bike. You wear a helmet and act like you're racing. Here he comes now.
Uncle Jerry, he's after me.
Who's after him?
Come back here! Come back here! Oh, I'll get you, you know. That thing's gonna run out of gas at some point.
Mayor Quigley, stop, stop. What's wrong? Who are you chasing?
Oh, that kid of yours. The one on that oversized go-kart.
It's called a quad.
I don't care what it's called. That little hoodlum just ran over my prize petunia patch.
What?
Oh, don't act so surprised. You probably put him up to it because you didn't like my potato salad. You're supposed to eat it. Not wear it!
Look, Mayor, I'm sure he didn't know he was riding over your petunia patch. He probably just thought there were weeds or something.
Weeds? I can have you arrested, you know. You and that big black Bentley of yours. Wait till you have a headlight out. Or drive a half a fraction over the speed limit. I'll have you thrown in jail. I know the police chief, you know.
Mayor, I'll make full restitution on your petunias.
How? They took years to grow the way I wanted them. I sang to them, "Oh, Salomeo." What's that sound?
It ain't Caruso.
Back! He's coming back! I'll get him now!
Uh-oh. Better do a few more laps. I'll be home for supper.
Come back here, you! Wait till I catch you!
Richie, stay off the petunias!
And you think you're going to get that script finished?
Maybe I better get some help.
What kind of help?
A housekeeper. Someone who can cook and do some cleanup work around the house.
See if she can do some gardening while she's at it. You already got the rototiller. I mean...
Well, just came up to see how the painting is coming along.
How do you like it?
Black. You painted your room black.
Isn't it great?
You're not a goth kid or anything like that, are you?
No, I just like black walls. It's soothing on the eyes.
Well, you could wear sunglasses.
You don't like it?
Isn't it a little depressing?
Oh, it's going to get brightened up. The ceiling's going to be red.
You don't say.
I locked the quad in the shed. That mayor guy's been chasing me all afternoon. I finally drove up the hill down at the beach, and he gave up. I think he's still catching his breath.
Do you know why he was chasing you?
I ran over his petunia patch. At least that's what he was screaming out when he was chasing after me.
Well, you worked very hard cultivating that petunia patch. First thing tomorrow morning, you and I are going to go over his house and you're going to apologize to him.
But I can't. He'll kill me.
That's his privilege.
You mean you're going to feed me to the wolves?
No, just the mayor.
Whoa, cool room, Paul.
The ceiling's gonna be red.
Awesome.
Hello, Preston.
Hi.
Did you enjoy the movie in the Bentley?
I sure did. That's a huge screen for a car.
Yes, it's a good size.
Did that car cost a lot of money?
About $300,000.
Gosh.
Of course, you know, I have a theater in the house. It has a 100-inch screen, surround sound, real movie theater seats.
Well, I'll have to use that one next time. I tried to change the channel in the car, so I reached up front and moved a couple of levers, but that didn't do anything.
What levers are you talking about?
I don't know. The ones I could reach. Anyway, now the car won't start.
Well, you didn't have to start it. I left the keys in so you could just watch the movie. You didn't have to start it.
Well, I didn't know that. Anyway, now it won't start. I think there's water in the engine or something like that.
What? Oh, no. Let me go look.
It isn't in the driveway anymore.
What do you mean? Where is it?
I think it's still in the ocean.
Oh, no.
This has been Jerry and the Pirates. Starring Jerry Robbins. Co-starring Rob Cattell as Paul, Connor Doherty as Richie, and Ricky McDonald as Preston. With Diane Capon as Tracy, Lincoln Clark as Mr. Cranker, and J.T. Turner as Mayor Quigley. Tonight's show was written and directed by Jerry Robbins and produced by Byron Lee. The music was by Jeffrey Gage, and Mark Vanderberg was the executive producer. This is Chris Snyder speaking. Jerry and the Pirates. Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins. Co-starring Rob Cattell, Connor Doherty, and Ricky McDonald. Well, it's another quiet, lazy afternoon in the seacoast town of Marblehead, Massachusetts. Sitting atop Hesperus Hill, we find the home of Jerry Davenport. Jerry is a screenwriter, and today he is trying to work on his new script called... Well, he doesn't know what it's called yet. Something about pirates and Tortuga. This is now made even more difficult with the arrival of his three orphaned nephews. As our scene opens, we find Jerry and his nephews Paul, Richie, and Preston having a discussion in the writing room. Let's listen in.
All right, now if we're all going to live here, there are going to be some rules.
Rules?
Rules.
Like what?
I'm glad you asked me that, Paul.
Yes, I'm glad you asked him that, Paul.
First, please observe the room you are all sitting in.
Ooh. Ah.
Cut the comedy. This, gentleman, is my office. This will be the only time you are in it. It is off limits. You see this computer here?
Yes.
This computer is off limits, even more than the room is. This is where I work. This computer is my life. It is not for video games, MySpace, FaceSpace, FreeSpace, or any other kind of space. It's not for chatting with friends or doing homework on. You can use the upstairs computer for that. This one is mine. And touching this means banishment to the hinterlands. Any questions?
I have one.
Yes, Preston?
Where are the hinterlands?
Between the Netherworlds and the Milky Way.
Sounds like a long ways off.
It is.
What do you do on that computer?
I'm a writer.
Cool.
What do you write? Books?
No, I write screenplays.
For movies?
Yes.
Real movies? Like in the theaters?
Yes.
Awesome. What movies have you written?
Oh, Pirates of the New World, The Gangster Chronicles, Frontier Scout, Apache Maiden from Chicago, Tooth of the Werewolf.
You wrote Tooth of the Werewolf? We have that on DVD. It's one of my favorite movies. Come, my fuzzy friend, it is time to take you up to the castle for a trim and a manicure.
That was a scary one. Werewolves and vampires in the same movie. Ugh.
You wrote that movie? On that computer?
Yes. Wasn't that big a deal. I wrote that one in a day and a half.
You must know some famous people.
A few.
Can we call Paris Hilton and see if I can get a date?
No, I don't know Paris Hilton. So just remember, no touching my work computer. Got it?
Yes. What was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. I've hired a housekeeper.
Why? We've been neat.
Oh, I know you have, but I'm working on a deadline now, and we need help with the minor cleaning, laundry, cooking. She should be here any moment.
Is she nice?
I haven't met her yet. I imagine she's nice. Sounded nice on the phone. Anyway, she's just coming over to check everything out, and we'll see if she accepts the offer I made.
So what is the movie you're writing now?
It's a sequel to Pirates of the New World. At the moment, it's called Captain Tortuga, but I'll probably change that.
I hope so. Tortuga was the town the pirates would all hang out in. It wasn't a guy's name.
It could have been. And we know very little about pirates. We don't have any journals or personal accounts to go by because none of them knew how to write.
After Apache Maiden from Chicago came out, they said the same thing about you.
Where'd you hear that?
On that Thumbs Up show, except in your case it was a Thumbs Down.
Yeah, they even brought in extra thumbs.
But the truth of the werewolf was great.
Everyone's a critic. They can't all be good. And don't remind me of my old reviews or I'll ship you off to military school. That's rule number 3.
Someone's at the door.
Must be the housekeeper. I'll get it.
Well, if it isn't the Petunia Patch Pulverizer.
Hello, Mayor Quigley. I sure am sorry for running over your petunias. I thought they were just colorful weeds.
Yes, so you said. Someday I might just step on you thinking you're a bug.
Won't you come in?
Thank you.
It's the mayor, and he doesn't have any potato salad.
Hello, Mayor.
Hello, Mr. Davenport. I'm sorry that Miss Kirkbride dumped that potato salad all over your head.
Oh, that's quite all right.
I was horrified.
In the past.
You have no idea how upset I was.
Forget it.
How can I forget about it? It was the best batch I ever made, and it ends up as a shampoo and mud pack for a second-rate writer.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say a shampoo and mud pack for a great, great writer.
Really?
Why, yes. In fact, I saw Apache Maiden from Chicago 3 times.
You did?
Yes. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing and had to go back 2 times just to make sure.
Well, thank you.
I think that was a slam.
Nonsense. I meant every word.
Well, thank you. Is there something I can do for you?
I was wondering if you had my speech.
Speech?
Yes, my speech. For the Petunia Lovers of America Club. I am speaking to them tonight. You said you would write me a speech.
No, no, Mayor, I didn't say that. You worded it that way in a question, and then I repeated the question, and when you heard what I repeated, you thought I was saying it first, when in reality I was only repeating what you had originally stated in the first place.
What did he say?
How are you telling me? But you did not write a speech for me to read to the Petunia Lovers of America Club this evening?
I'm afraid so.
Do you know I am the mayor of this town?
Yes.
Good. Then I suggest you give me that speech by 7 o'clock tonight, or I will see to it that you are pulled over by the police every time you leave this house. Even if you take a cab.
You can't do that. That's dishonest.
I am a politician. Don't talk to me about being honest, kid.
Mayor, I'm afraid I can't help you. I'm already late with my deadline for this new picture I'm writing.
What new picture?
It's called Captain Tortuga.
Ooh, a pirate picture. Shiver me timbers and man the yardarm. Yo-ho-ho! Is there a part for me in it? If there is, I might forget about the speech and the police.
I only write the scripts, Mayor. I don't decide who's in them.
You can pull strings. I always wanted to be in a swashbuckling pirate adventure. Do you know how many people tell me I could be the next Johnny Depp?
People from Earth?
Quiet, you.
Mayor, if you'll excuse me, I have to get back to my writing.
Here you go, Mayor.
Remember, even in a cab, they'll get you.
Oh, I forgot. Hey, Mayor. Can I ride my quad on the other side of your house? There ain't any petunias on that side.
No!
Boy, he holds a grudge.
Thank you for coming by on such short notice, Mrs.
Thorne, Mrs. Belva R. Thorne. Here are my references.
Thank you.
3 years at the White House?
Don't get excited. Not the White House. The White House Inn up at Rocky Point. Nice view. Overpriced.
Where's Rocky Point?
Right next to Boar's Neck.
Oh, Boar's Neck.
Do you know Boar's Neck? Well, it's the next town over from Goose Hollow. Oh, I work there, too.
At Boar's Neck?
No, Goose Hollow. I was at the Goose Hollow Inn. And before that, I worked for Judge Leroy R. Packabush, right here in Marblehead.
Well, I certainly am not questioning your experience, Belva.
Mrs. Thorne?
Hmm?
My professional name is Mrs. Thorne. That's what I prefer to be called when I am working.
Of course. That makes sense. Well, there are 3 adjoining rooms for you, and you can have the day of your choosing off.
Thursday nights.
Thursdays it is.
Now, for the record, I don't cook on outside grills, I don't wash windows, and I don't wash and shampoo carpeting. You need to hire someone for that. I will prepare breakfast, lunch, afternoon tea, if requested with 1 day's notice, and dinner. After 9 in the evening, I retire for the day, and if you need me for anything after that hour, I charge overtime.
Well, that sounds fair. And I see your weekly rate here. That's fair also.
Now, you said there are 4 of you in the house?
Yes, myself and my 3 nephews.
Ages?
10, 13, and 14.
Animals?
No, of course not. They're well-behaved.
No. I meant, do you have any animals?
Oh, no. No pets.
Well, that's a plus. Just for the record, if you end up getting any, I don't feed them. That will be up to you.
Understood. So, could I offer you the job?
Indeed you can. I'm sure it will be a pleasure working for you and your boys.
Can you start tomorrow?
Oh, tomorrow will be fine. I shall be here at 6 in the morning.
All right, let me give you a key, and I'll give you a tour of the house and show you your rooms.
Now, what do you do for work, Mr. Davenport?
I write movies.
Oh, yes. Oh, of course. I thought your name sounded familiar. Oh, I just love Tramp Steamer on the China Seas. Oh, what a movie.
Thank you.
Oh, but Apache Maiden from Chicago. Wait, what on earth were you thinking?
Guys, I got a great idea.
What's your great idea?
Well, Mayor Quigley is really mad at Jerry, right?
Is this news?
I have to vote to plan that will get him out of the doghouse with the mayor and allow me to ride my quad around our house and his.
Let's hear the plan.
Well, we write the mayor's speech. What?
That's a dumb idea. You've had some dumb ideas, but that is right up there with the dumbest of the dumb.
What's so dumb about it?
We don't know anything about petunias. How are we going to write a speech for experts?
Oh, you can do it, Paul.
Me? Oh, no, leave me out of this.
But I need your help.
Too bad. Besides, I don't want to ride around in the quad.
That's not the point. Think of Jerry getting a ticket every time he leaves the house, even in a cab.
Hey, you can drive the quad.
Look, Richie, it's too risky, and we could get Jerry in a lot of trouble.
Trouble? With flower people? Are you kidding? What's the worst thing they could do to him? Beat him with orange blossoms?
Petunias.
You know what I mean.
It's dishonest. And besides, we'll never get away with it.
We will.
The mayor will read it before he even leaves his home.
No, he won't. I got that covered too.
How?
He won't get it until just before he gives a speech. So, how about it?
I'm game.
It's bound to fail, but sure, why not?
Good. Now listen to me. This is what we do. Paul will do the research while I start the easy stuff, like writing...
Jerry and the Pirates will return after this. We now return to Jerry and the Pirates.
Come in, it's open.
Where are you?
In the inner sanctum, where else?
Just what I like to see. Hard at work and creating a classic.
Captain Tortuga will never be a classic.
I bet it goes direct to video.
Nonsense. Mr. Dabney Cranker made the deal for this picture, and that means it's going to be a hit.
Sure.
Just like Apache Maiden from Chicago.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure? That was a huge hit.
In Luxembourg.
A hit's a hit no matter where it plays. So, how far you come along?
You know, it would be a lot easier for me to write this without your daily checkups. Why don't you just call me instead of coming over?
Because you never answer my calls.
Good point. Well, I'm about halfway through it.
Good. This is good.
I didn't say it was good. I said I'm about halfway through.
It better be good. My neck is on the line with this one.
Your neck was on the line with Apache Maiden, and if you didn't get chopped with that one, you got nothing to worry about.
Well, Captain Tortuga needs to be as great as Pirates of the New World. I'm sure you can pull it off. By the way, it seems quiet around here. What are the three urchins up to?
Well, they've been upstairs for the last hour or so, probably watching TV. Oh, I hired a housekeeper. She starts tomorrow morning.
Wonderful. Make sure to tell her I like scones.
I will. Here, I printed out half the script. It's what I got so far. Take it and let me know what you think.
Indeed, I will. Well, I must be off. Do you still think you can get the rest ready by the weekend? I'm flying out to L.A. on Monday.
I'm hoping to.
Very nice. Until then, remember what the great Samuel Golden said. You've got to take the bitter with the sour. Adios.
That's showbiz.
Are you going to add the part I suggested?
Yes. I just need to finish up this line about the weeds.
You spelled weeds wrong. One D and two E's.
Everyone's a critic. Okay, Preston, what was your line?
And they all live happily with all the other petunias in the patch.
And they happily in the patch. There. I think it's done.
But other than the last line, do you think it's any good?
Of course it's good. It was my idea, wasn't it?
That's what I mean.
It's good enough.
It's gonna have to be.
Yeah, we're out of time.
What's with this wee stuff? This was your idea.
You helped.
I'm not taking any credit on this one. I don't ride the quad.
The mayor will love it. He'll think Jerry wrote it, and then everything will be back to normal again.
Well, you better hurry. The mayor will be leaving any minute now. It's already 10 to 7.
Yep, let's print it out, and I'll bring it over to him.
I'll have to ad-lib the whole speech. Those Hollywood people, oh, you can't trust them. Take them out of Hollywood and put them in a respectable town, and they still act like they're on Rodeo Drive.
Mayor Quigley, Mayor Quigley!
Hmm? Oh, it's you. Come to squash some more petunias. I'll have you thrown in jail, you know.
No, I brought your speech for you. I'm glad I caught you in time.
My speech?
Jerry felt bad after you left.
He did?
Sure, he must have cried for a whole hour.
No kidding.
So he started to write your speech. And then his agent came over and he told him he had to finish his new movie script, but Jerry said, no, I need to finish the petunia speech for the mayor. That is more important than a $50 million movie.
I don't believe it.
What? You don't think he would say that to his agent?
No, I don't believe those awful movies cost $50 million.
Here's the speech.
Thank you, young man. Oh, I don't know how to thank him enough.
Well, there is one thing you could do.
Oh, what is that?
Could you let me ride my quad in your yard? See, if I go from our yard to yours, I can get up a lot of speed.
Why, of course you can. Oh, just mind the petunia patch. I planted new ones this afternoon, you know.
Thanks, Mayor. I'll be careful. Bye.
What a delightful boy. And Mr. Davenport, I always said those Hollywood types were a classy bunch.
Lover, it gives me the greatest of pleasure, and then some. To introduce to you our guest speaker for this evening, our very own Petunia King. We've all seen his garden. Mayor Jonathan Quigley!
Thank him. Thank you, Mrs. Gimple. What an honor it is to be able to address the Petunia Lovers of America Club right here in my hometown of Marblehead. What this means to me, I can't begin to tell you. If you don't mind my reading, I have jotted down some carefully prepared notes to assist me during this speech, which I have spent many hours perfecting. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Gimble, fellow petunia lovers, what is a petunia to me? A petunia is a petal, sometimes pink, sometimes purple, in a bed of pollinated purity. It falls to bees who bumble and hummingbirds who mumble. What do the hummingbirds mumble as they hum next to the bumble? Maybe they hum, "This is my petunia, go find your own." Or, "Just because you have a stinger does not mean that this flower is your dinner." Yes. Petunias are diploid, with 14 chromosomes. They are sometimes eaten by the larva of the Lepidoptera. Could that be, you ask? Why, a dot moth, of course. Did you know that petunias are from the same family as potatoes and tomatoes? Well, I did. That's why I'm standing up here and you're sitting down there. No, wait. A petunia is shaped like a trumpet? And the music it gives out is its wonderful color. It also has given its name to others. For instance, remember Petunia Pig from Looney Tunes? Aunt Petunia from Harry Potter? Petunias are everywhere in today's society. There's no getting around it. They are not daisies or lilies or tulips or weeds. They are petunias, and we love them. And they all live happily with all the other petunias in the patch. The
Boy, that was sure a good dinner, Tracy.
Thank you, Preston.
Yeah, we've been eating pizza takeout all week.
Right, Chinese takeout is a lot better. Any more egg rolls?
Yep, here.
Thank you.
So, Jerry, you've been feeding these boys pizza all week?
He sure has. Last night I had a nightmare that I was being chased by a giant pepperoni.
Did it catch you?
No, the anchovies got him.
I'll see who it is.
Whoever it is sure seems to be in a hurry.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Mayor.
Where is he?
Who?
That two-bit writer. Where is he?
Jerry, you mean? Did you like the speech he wrote for you?
Like it? I'm the laughingstock of the Petunia Lovers of America Club. I'll kill him. He's ruined me.
Well, we were just having dinner. Come again sometime. Bye. Oh. Go away. We don't want any.
What's going on? Who's at the door?
A Girl Scout selling those cookies. Boy, they sure are aggressive these days, aren't they?
Would you please step aside?
Don't give in to the temptation. Think of your weight.
What are you talking about? Mayor Quigley.
Mr. Davenport, of all the low-down tricks, stick out your chin.
What?
Never mind. You don't need to.
Hey! What was that for?
My speech. That dreadful speech.
I'm sorry, but I told you I don't have time to write a speech. Why can't you take no for an answer?
You didn't take no for an answer. You wrote that horrible travesty just to spite me and make fun of me in front of all the other petunia lovers.
Mayor, I didn't write a speech for you.
You didn't write. A petunia is a petal, sometimes pink, sometimes purple.
In a bed of pollinated purity, it calls to bees who bumble and hummingbirds who mumble.
You wrote the speech?
Richie?
I'll talk to you later. I gotta go find the Girl Scouts. I hear they're selling cookies.
Richie, you come back here!
I will, sometime next week. Bye.
This has been Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins, co-starring Rob Cattell as Paul, Connor Doherty as Richie, and Ricky McDonald as Preston. With Diane Capon as Tracy, Lincoln Clark as Mr. Cranker, Marsha Friedman as Mrs. Thorne, and J.T. Turner as Mayor Quigley. Tonight's show was written and directed by Jerry Robbins. It was produced by Byron Lee, and the music was by Jeffrey Gates. Mark Vanderberg was the executive producer. This is Chris Snyder speaking. Jerry and the Pirates. Jerry and the Pirates, starring Jerry Robbins. Co-starring Rob Cattell, Connor Doherty, and Ricky McDonald. It's another quiet, lazy morning in the seacoast town of Marblehead, Massachusetts. Let me take that back. It's a stormy morning in the seacoast town of Marblehead, Massachusetts. Sitting atop Hesperus Hill, we find the home of Jerry Davenport. Jerry is a screenwriter, and today he is soldiering on with his latest project, the pirate epic, Captain Tortuga. This is a big day in the Davenport household, as it is the first day for the new housekeeper, Mrs. Belva Thorne. Belva is already in the kitchen making breakfast. Let's listen in.
Now let me see. 3 boys, that would be 6 eggs, so I think I got that covered. 6 pieces of toast. Orange juice? Boy, that's a slow toaster. Come on, pop up. Good. Now you know who's boss in here. La, 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 la. Few more slices of bacon. This looks like a bacon house, not a sausage house.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Who are you?
I am Mrs. Thorne. Who are you?
I'm Preston Davenport.
Nice to meet you.
Are you in the wrong house?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh. Am I in the wrong house?
No, I don't think so. I'm the new housekeeper.
Oh, sorry. It's early. I'm not awake yet.
Oh, but it's 7:30.
Yeah, we usually don't have breakfast till 10. Sometimes 11.
Really? That late?
Ah, good morning, Mrs. Thorne.
Good morning, Mr. Davenport. My, look at you, all dressed, pencil behind your ear. Why, you're certainly up early and ready to go.
Up early?
He hasn't been to bed yet.
Yeah, I usually work all night.
You mean you've been up all night long?
Yep, just came out to make a sandwich. I think we have some roast beef in there.
I'm making bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs? Oh, that's breakfast food. I can't eat bacon and eggs at this time of day.
It's 7:30 in the morning. That's when you're supposed to eat bacon and eggs.
Not on my clock. Doesn't seem natural.
Oh, Mr. Davenport, don't you think bacon and eggs would be better for you at this time of day? Start the day off right.
Start the day? In another half hour, he's going to go to bed.
Did I ask for your help?
Sorry.
Go get your brothers.
I don't think that'll be easy. They were playing video games until 1 this morning.
What? I told you boys, no games after 11.
We were going to ask you if we could stay up later, but you were busy writing and we didn't want to bother you.
How considerate.
You're welcome.
Better go tell them breakfast is ready.
I don't think anything could wake them up. Not even that.
I'll go get them.
No need, Mr. Davenport. I have my own handy-dandy little device for waking up teenage boys who stay up late.
Oh, what would that be?
Right here, in the purse. Here it is.
What's that?
It's just a little spray can thingy with a tiny horn on the top.
Little, yes, but it does the trick. Excuse me, I'll be right back.
She sure can cook. Look at all this. Eggs, bacon, toast. What's this thing?
That's an orange juice squeezer.
What for?
You use it to squeeze the juice out of oranges.
You can just buy it in a carton.
Yeah, I know, but it's better this way. Now, see, I bet in this little bag here... Yeah, see? Oranges. Now, you take a knife... And you cut the orange in half. Like so... And then you take the orange, like this, and... See?
That's neat. Do the other half.
All right. You take the other half, like this, put it on the little round thing, and...
Can I try one?
Sure. Let me cut another orange.
A lot of orange she's got there.
Yep.
You take the orange, like this, and...
The bells are ringing for me and my gal. The parson's waiting for me and my gal. Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going.
Mrs. Boy!
And someday we're gonna build a little home for two or three or four or more.
Mrs. Boy!
In love land for me and my... Hey, what happened? It ran out of juice.
No, I pulled the plug.
Now, what did you do that for? Can you see I'm vacuuming the carpet?
Yes, I can see it, and I can hear it. Mrs. Thorne, you see, I'm working this afternoon, and I can't work with all this noise.
Well, if you think I'm going to do it with a broom, you're in for a big surprise.
No, no. Isn't there anything else you could do?
Mr. Davenport, today is Monday.
I know.
Since time began, I have done my vacuuming on Monday.
Well, maybe with this new job and all, it might be a good time to try something new, like vacuuming on Saturdays. I usually don't work on Saturdays.
Neither do I, in this house anyway. Saturday is when I buy the groceries for the following week. You can't expect me to buy groceries for four and vacuum afterwards. All on the same day now, can
you? Can't you shop for groceries on Mondays?
Nope. I'll get it.
Who are you?
Mrs. Belva Thorne. I'm the housekeeper.
Ah, well, I'm Mr. Davenport's agent, and you are to let me into the house. Always, especially when Mr. Davenport sees me coming and tells you to tell me he's not home. How's the script coming? Almost done.
Almost. How did things go in L.A.?
I avoided BS when I was at the studio. He's not happy with you, you know. I got a call from him saying that he's unable to start pre-production without the script.
Hey, look, it's partially his fault, too. It was his idea to turn this thing out in 6 months. He shouldn't have promised the stockholders he could get this in release by Christmas. That only gives me a month to write it in. And it's a huge movie. I won't even have time to do a second draft.
You don't even have time to finish the script.
What do you mean?
I was having dinner at Spago Beverly Hills and Innie came.
Oh, no.
I know. I managed to avoid him the whole time, and then on my last day in town, he gets seated at the next table and orders oysters. Then he told me he wants a script now, and he'll finish it himself.
What? He's out of his mind. That big baboon has a vocabulary of 20 words. How can he finish writing it? And what gives him the right to take over my script like that?
He owns the studio. That gives him the right.
Well, I'll have it done in another day. Can you hold off till then?
I suppose so, but no later than that. He wanted me to overnight it as soon as I got back to the East Coast.
And you could have, too. But when you arrived back, you discovered that I had departed for a tropical resort in Jamaica, where I could soak up the surroundings and pour them into my script.
When are you going to Jamaica?
I'm not, but that's what you tell BS. Call him and say that I left a note and that I'm out of the country for the weekend. I'll have the script for you in 2 days. I just need 2 days.
I dislike lying.
You're an agent. You do it all the time.
True. Very well. I shall leave you to it. You know, Hernia Hill is even more depressing during a thunderstorm.
Hesperus Hill.
Yes.
Oh, are you leaving so soon, Mr. Cranker?
Yes, he has to go crawl back under his rock before it gets wet.
Mrs. Thorne, it has been a pleasure. Davenport.
He needs to keep his sunny side up.
No, he's usually scrambled. Now, getting back to the vacuum.
Right. Glad you reminded me.
Mrs. Thorne. Mrs.
Did you pull the plug out again?
Yes, because we hadn't finished our conversation. How about vacuuming on Tuesdays?
Tuesdays?
Yeah, how's that sound?
Well, it's going to throw me off, you know. If I vacuum on Tuesday, I'm going to think it's Monday.
Just for a little while, and then you get used to it. How about giving it a try?
Maybe you could get a quieter vacuum.
We can discuss that, yes. But right now, I need to get this screenplay done.
That pirate thing?
Yes.
All right. But if you get caught in a dust storm, don't come crying to me. I'll go reorganize the kitchen.
Aha! Do you think that measly fort with its measly guns will keep the Glenda Rose out of the harbor? I laugh in your face. Yes?
Jerry, can we talk to you?
That is, if you're not too busy.
What is it?
It's about Mrs. Thorne.
Yeah?
Well, she said that every morning she makes the beds.
What's wrong with that? Could be worse. You could have to make them yourself.
It is worse. She says she has to make them according to her schedule.
And her schedule says she makes them at 7 o'clock.
In the morning. I mean, what kind of torture is that?
Yeah, it's summer. We need to sleep late in the summer.
Well, that does seem a little early, but, well, it makes sense in a way, because she has breakfast ready by 7:30.
Can you talk to her?
I suppose I can. She's just set in her ways.
Tell her to pretend this is a hotel, and she can't do the rooms until checkout time at 11.
What's that on the computer? Oh, the pirate story. Aha! Do you think that measly fort with these measly guns will keep the Glenda Rose out of the harbor? I laugh in your face. That's pretty funny. A pirate comedy. Should be a big hit. See you later.
Comedy?
Jerry and the Pirates will return right after this.
And now, back to Jerry and the Pirates.
Well, the housekeeper, Mrs. Belva Thorne, has arrived at the Davenport Estate on Hesperus Hill with her own set of rules and timetable. As if that wasn't bad enough, the kids think Jerry's adventure epic, Captain Tortuga, is a comedy. The script has to be delivered to the studio the next day, and he seeks the advice of Tracy, his supporter through thick and thin.
Well, you have to admit it, Jerry, that Captain Tortuga is a comical title.
It is not. How can you sit there and tell me that Captain Tortuga makes you laugh?
Because it does. Tortuga is a place. It's not a man's name.
It could have been.
Just change the title.
Oh, easy for you to say. The title is interwoven with the story. Listen to you. Just change the title.
You've changed titles before.
Yeah, because I wanted to. Not because everyone was telling me to. Especially the three pirates I have living here now.
How could you call them adorable kids pirates?
How? They've ruined the mayor's flowers, drove my Bentley into the ocean, and wrote a speech that is the worst ever written and signed my name to it. And those are just the things I know about. Imagine what else they've gotten into that's yet to be discovered. Pirates. They're all pirates.
Oh, you've just got pirates on the brain.